It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. For the first time in 21 years, a team of top American high school students has won the recent International Math Olympiad held in Thailand. Here to tell us about this accomplishment is Carnegie Mellon University professor and U.S. head coach, Po Shen Lo. Professor Po Shen Lo, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
Would you begin by explaining what events are involved in the competition?
Absolutely. So this is a competition where one spends 9 hours thinking about a math problem, to be specific, 6 math problems. And in fact, those 9 hours are awfully long, so they're split over 2 days. And each day, there are 4.5 hours to think about 3 questions. Each of these questions is not a question which necessarily has a numerical answer like 42, but rather one in which you're supposed to concoct a logical explanation of why a certain fact might be true, so-called a proof, a mathematical proof.
6 students represented the United States. How were they selected?
Sure. So the Mathematical Association of America is the parent organization that runs the American participation in this International Math Olympiad. They're a nonprofit in Washington, D.C., and their mission is actually to promote mathematics in America. Among other things, they organize a math contest for which about 200,000 high school students participate in every February. These are coming from all around the United States, and a series of competitions winnows down the field from the 200,000 down to ultimately 6 people.
And how did you become the coach representing the U.S. in this International Math Olympiad?
Oh, well, in some sense, I love teaching. I love working with students. And I have a background. I feel that this was an essential part of my own background. I competed in these competitions when I was in high school. I was actually involved in the U.S. team back as a high school student. And then I came back as a coach because I wanted to help the people who were just a few years younger than me at that time. Now, the people are no longer just a few years younger than me, but I still like to help them. And in some sense, I just stayed on as a coach, and Carnegie Mellon was happy to have me as a coach. And at some point, you're the last guy standing, and then you're the head coach.
And is there pressure on you, as there would be for a head coach in, you know, something in something that doesn't involve as much thinking as this, a head coach in a typical U.S. sport, for example?
There might be, but I try not to pay attention to it in a certain sense, because my actual attitude towards all of these things is that I get to work with some of the top math talents in America, young math talents. In fact, one of the highlights of working with them is that I don't just see 6, but in fact, 54 of these superstar students were at Carnegie Mellon University this summer for the National Math Olympiad Summer Program, which is their training camp. But there, I don't focus on trying to make sure that we win the Math Olympiad. To be perfectly honest, I've actually told all of the people above me that my primary objective is not to win, but to make sure that these 54 students are as successful and impactful as possible 20, 30 years from now. Because this is serious mathematical talent that does not go away with age. In fact, it only matures with age. And our objective is not to burn these students out over the next 1 month, say, but rather to make sure that they can make the key discoveries that will send our country forward. So in some sense, the fact that we won is a great surprise. That wasn't the objective.
Well, why was it a surprise, and why do you think that it has taken 21 years for the U.S. to reclaim the top spot?
Sure. So if you notice from the way I've described my approach, our focus is long-term. And in fact, at that point, if your focus is long-term, over the 3.5 weeks that I work with these top 54 students, or I don't try to teach them as much as I can in 3.5 weeks. What I mean is I'm not trying to teach them years and years of math in 3.5 weeks. With such a short amount of time, your main goal is to inspire, is to get people interested in mathematics, is to make people realize that this should be something that maybe they'd want to do with their free time. And at that point, if you have people freely deciding to do mathematics during the other 11 months of the year, then you can have something interesting. And now, why did it take 21 years? So what I feel is that with this approach, which somehow matches with the American ideals of freedom, this works as long as the resources are available. So suppose you're inspired. Suppose you're inspired and you want to learn more math. The great thing is with internet resources, you can now find just about anything you might want to learn. Back when I was a contestant, this was not really true. I was a contestant in the late 1990s. Even if I was inspired, it would be hard to figure out what to read, how to get better. And in fact, in some sense, the convergence of lots of great free content and this American method of inspiration as opposed to pushing mathematics into people this convergence just happened to finally produce a first place result this year. But I'm hopeful that this is part of the future, because actually my philosophy is that in some sense, with all of the content that's now publicly available, the limit of what any individual can achieve is no longer based on what kind of coaching they got, but based on how much they want it. Because in a certain sense, you can only push someone so much, but they can pull themselves far further. And therefore, our hope is that by continuing this inspiration-based approach, we'll be able to deliver good results for years to come.
We hear so much about the United States lagging behind other countries when it comes to math and science. Do you think that events such as the International Math Olympiad can encourage more student interest in math? Clearly, that seems to be what your priority is here.
Absolutely. We are certainly very hopeful of this. I can even give you some anecdotal evidence in the sense that I personally heard about the last United States win in 1994, back when I was a middle school student. And back then, I was also not really sure what I was wanting to do. But knowing that there was such a thing as an International Math Olympiad was somehow inspiring. Actually, at the time, I heard about it, and I assumed I would never have anything to do with anything close to that, because I was just a middle school student in Madison, Wisconsin. And nevertheless, knowing that there is this high-level international competition out there has roughly the same effect as the Olympics on sports throughout the country. And so our hope is that since the United States has just delivered this victory and is appearing on all these major news outlets, this result is appearing on these major news outlets, we hope that other students out there might suddenly decide that maybe this is something for them too.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're speaking with Carnegie Mellon University Professor Po Shen Lo, who served as head coach for a team of American math students who recently won the International Math Olympiad. Professor, do you see the United States, after this victory, maybe embarking on a dynasty of sorts and dominating this competition? Is that possible? Is that a worthwhile goal?
So anything is possible. But at the same time, my main hope is actually not to focus on the win, but rather to focus on the continued mission to develop the talent in America as much as possible. If that results in wins in high school math Olympiads, that's fantastic. But our primary goal should be to lift the nation's math and science.
Do you see teachers demonstrating the impact math can have on other disciplines such as sciences and engineering, but also seemingly unrelated ones such as the arts?
I'd say that teachers in America are a great resource and one should embrace them. In some sense, I think that they might be a bit under-resourced, but given what they have, I think that they're doing as good a job as one could hope. Now, when it comes to describing how math and art fit together, I think this is something that perhaps could be communicated a little bit better, maybe even by professional mathematicians. And in fact, I often like to explain to people that math is not just about multiplying numbers. It's not just about formulas. Actually, math is a cross between art and law.
And just in terms of the logic involved?
Yeah. So the reason I use art and law is because law encapsulates the logic, the objectiveness, the reasoning, the proving, not beyond reasonable doubt, but beyond all doubt. The art, though, it reflects the fact that you don't just want to prove nonsense. You never prove nonsense. You just don't want to prove uninteresting facts. You'd rather study things that are somehow elegant. And at that point, that's where the professional mathematician comes in, as the artist in some sense, to try to identify what sorts of things might be elegant, where there is mathematical beauty.
Solving a long proof would be something that could be viewed as elegant and beautiful in its own way, right?
Well, absolutely. Just like in literature, there are different kinds of different forms of writing. Some are short poems, some are haikus, and then there is sometimes Ulysses. And there are different ways. There are different ways to
appreciate it. Ulysses could be like a literature version of a proof.
Perhaps indeed.
Do you try to impress upon the students that math can have an impact in other areas of their lives?
Certainly, because although I myself am a professional mathematician, I don't think that everybody should be a professional mathematician. In some sense, we do need other things done in the world. And so actually at this National Math Olympiad training program, we always do our best to expose to them all the other things that you can do. For example, we often bring back alumni who have gone on to do different things, such as working in software companies, working as researchers, not in mathematics, but say in economics, or even starting like entrepreneurs who started their own companies, who are alumni of these Math Olympiad activities. We show all of these examples to the students so that they know that there is more to math than just, say, mathematical research. A few of those students will say, no, I don't want to do any of this. I just want to do mathematical research. And that's fine. Those are the people who should be doing the mathematical research.
Okay, I'm going to throw kind of a far-out question at you, but recently Stephen Hawking embarked on a search for life in other parts of the universe. Is math a way in which we might be able to communicate with other forms of life, or they with us? In terms of a language that is universal, is this a way to bridge a communications gap, potentially?
Yes. So I'm not an expert in extraterrestrial intelligence, but I would say that math is a certain universal language, exactly as you say it, in that it doesn't require words to express. You can, for example, draw diagrams that represent certain types of numbers, for example, like prime numbers. There are numbers which don't have any divisors other than one in itself. For example, 7 is a prime number because only 1 and 7 divide it, but 6 is not because both 2 and 3 divide 6 in addition to 1 and 6. For technical reasons, 1 is considered not a prime number. But in any case, if you drew certain numbers of dots, if you just drew numbers of dots that were prime numbers, and you sent that into outer space, and that met another civilization which was familiar with math, this would certainly be an indication to the other planet or other civilization that there is intelligent life out there somewhere else in the universe. I would say that's probably true.
And I say that just because, you know, there's so many different languages that we speak, but math is a common language that, you know, if I couldn't speak Chinese and I was communicating with a Chinese person who couldn't speak English, we could communicate through equations, couldn't we?
That's correct. Actually, you hit on something which is quite close to the International Math Olympiad, in that actually at the International Math Olympiad, you have people communicating in all different languages. There's actually a part of the entire competition in which the papers, the exam papers are graded. And in fact, the exam papers are all written in the native languages. But it's quite interesting that when you're looking at, say, a solution written in Russian, you might not be able to read anything else, but you will see the equations in the middle of it, and they'll give you some guide towards whether that individual was moving in a particular direction or not.
When we speak with students in high school, we often hear that they want teachers who demonstrate the relevancy of what they are supposed to learn. So how does this affect my life now and later on? And how should teachers address the concerns about relevancy when it comes to math?
Absolutely. So I'll say there are two things I think that are very important in teaching. One is indeed emphasizing the relevancy. I'll be talking about that in a second. The other one I would also say is the passion and the inspiration that can be communicated by a teacher. Now, let's go straight onto that relevancy. In some sense, actually, I think that math is a bit badly branded. We should rename it. I think we should call it thinking. Because that's what it is. In some sense, what's the relevance of math? The relevance of math is that you have all of these equations or theories or formulas or ideas even that are all based on logical fact. And math is actually the subject that gives you a sandbox on which everything is grounded down to, everything is based on logical arguments that start with a foundation. I'm not trying to say it's better or worse than another subject, but just to contrast it with another subject like physics. Well, gravity on Earth is 9.8 meters per second squared. Why? Well, it is. I'm just trying to give you an example. Mm-hmm. But then if you want to go and start analyzing that, you're doing some logic based on this initial fact. That logic is the math. So the math is all about the thinking. And why should you learn math? I think why everyone on Earth should learn math is because it will make everyone better and deeper thinkers.
Carnegie Mellon University professor Po-Shen Lo has been our guest. He served as head coach for a team of American math students who recently won the International Math Olympiad. Professor Lo, congratulations once again, and thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh. This has been a fascinating conversation.
Great. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Essential Pittsburgh will continue after this break on 90.5 WESA.